roll call if you distribute.
Now, we're of our own. Felt very strongly that he thought Misvara, that the moment the second Kiddushin were chal, the first Kiddushin should disappear entirely, and therefore never be able to be resurrected, because it's so vetrei. Mochazia, you couldn't really have a woman who is tied in marital bonds, even potential, to more than one man. So Mamela, the first guy's Kiddushin should utterly disappear. But what's shot in Yushalmi, the Ramban and the Ran, who holds that no, the first guy's Kiddushin are just waiting in the wings, and if the second guy dies or divorces her, then the first guy's Kiddushin are chal. Or the Rasp and the Ritva, who say the first guy's Kiddushin really are gone, right? Once the second guy divorces her, the first guy's Kiddushin disappear. But only for a technical reason, right? What's the technical reason? They agree that theoretically the first guy's Kiddushin could be chal, but they say there's a chazara. Right? By accepting the second guy's Kiddushin, she is saying she doesn't want to marry the first guy anymore. I mean, if we make that assumption. Maybe she wants to marry them both, and she's not such a tamachacha. But let's assume she doesn't want to marry the first guy anymore, so she retracted marrying the first guy, so for a technical reason, the first guy's Kiddushin disappear or nullified, but theoretically they could have still stuck around. So, what's Shab? What about why isn't it? It said that her looks really like the story says. How could she be tied to two people? So we thought. So at first he said maybe, you know, there's this is a choshen mishpat obligation, not evana ezer. Meaning, what does he mean by that? It's not that there's really like an
impending ishus for the first guy at the same time she's married to the second guy, and then the first guy's ishus kicks in. No, that you can't have. Well, there is. There's an ishus to the second guy, and the first guy, there's like a bit adam l'chaveiro obligation that they're entering into a certain contract at a certain time. But all it is like a promise to bit adam l'chaveiro, and therefore that can remain, even though it's a l'chaveiro l'chaveiro, she's totally the second guy's wife, but she has this promise, this obligation to the first guy, which on the 30th day, if it has the opportunity to be chal, will be chal, but it's no problem having this obligation to the first guy at the same time she's married to the second guy, because it's more of like a minimum chaver obligation than an impending ishus. Then I think in the Rambam he just, yeah, one second. The two other points over here in terms of the implicit chazara, you pointed out that's not so pashut for Reish Lakish. There's a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether the woman can be chozer within the 30 days. Rabbi Yochanan says she can, so great, she was chozer. Reish Lakish says she can't. Now the Rashi mentioned before, so you look at the Yukim, that's bein Rabbi Yochanan bein Reish Lakish. So how can Reish Lakish say she's chozer? So the reason Reish Lakish says she's not allowed to be chozer is because she did the mice of accepting money. Now she's just saying she wants to be chozer. Dibur can't be about the mice. So the answer is that here it's a maisa. Asi maisa. Well, levat el maisa. Because when she accepted condition from the second guy, that's a maisa. Right? The mice of accepting condition from the second guy is just as much a mice of accepting condition from the first guy. It's the same act. So maisa can be about the maisa. We luchni pointed out this is not so posh. This depends on alumnus. I guess we'll get back to what does it mean that a maisa can be about the maisa according to Reish Lakish. Actually, everyone agrees. I'll see maisa about the maisa. I'll see deeper about the maisa. What does it mean that a maisa can be about the maisa? Does that mean any physical act can be about the any physical act, or not only the maisa that's a direct maisa of undoing that physical act can undo it? So the Rashi and Rishon would have to assume that it's not that any physical maisa can undo a maisa. Not just that, meaning any maisa which coincidentally opposes the first maisa is enough to undo it. Not that you need a maisa which directly opposes the first maisa.
What would be an example of that? I guess she gave the money back, right?
That would be a maisa that directly undid the first maisa. Here, she's saying is I want to marry the second guy. She didn't do anything to undo the kedusha of the first guy. Just mamelit implies she doesn't want to marry the first guy anymore. So they're assuming that the power of maisa be matal maisa is just any maisa makes it a significant act, not that you need a specific maisa bittel. Now, then I think Rav wanted to have another way. He got into the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say, very much like Yerushalmi and the Ran, right? Because basically, we're saying that what if she was just with Kadesh to the second guy, and she lived with the second guy happily ever after? So why aren't the first guy's Kedushin Chal? So according to Rav Lutzi and the Rashi and the Ritva, because the first guy's Kedushin disappeared the moment she married the second guy. According to Yerushalmi, why aren't the first guy's Kedushin Chal? Like the Rambam says, right? If the second guy was Mekadesh, then on day 30, the first guy's Kiddushin meet an Ashersish. Right? Why, if the second guy was Mekadesh and stayed married to her, then really the first guy's Kiddushin is still around. They just happen to find an Ashersish on day 30 and they can't be Chal. But if the second guy dies or divorces her, the first guy's Kiddushin can be Chal. So the Rambam says this Lashon, he says, why is she not Mekadesh the Rishon? Because on day 30, the Rishon's Kiddushin show up and knock on the door and find an Ashersish. So it's clear he held the first guy's Kiddushin was still around, which is not the Derech of Lichtin like so much. So he wanted to have that was one thing which he would prefer to like explain in the Rambam, if he could fit the Rambam in with his intuition of Itzalui Trelo Kazia. The other problem he had for the Rambam, which is also based on assumption, which I don't think you have to agree with him, assuming, but he said, Kiddush L'Achel Lama, does that mean you want it to be Chal Davka on the 30th day, or does that mean from the 30th day and on? So he's like, he thought maybe from the 30th day and on, but then it's crazy, because if you say it can be Chal, assume that when the second guy dies or divorces her, and it can be Chal any time from the 30th day and on, then the second guy's eventually going to like get old and die. So the first guy's Kiddushin should always be Chal, which is ridiculous. We knocked you out of Zerg. That can't be the first guy's Kiddushin. I can be Chal in 30 years. We never heard of that. So he wanted to say that maybe this is from the Rambam. That, what about this? Levei Trei Lochazia says, really, it's Selevei Trei Lo Chazya, but only present Kiddushin count, not future. We all have enough light? Because they turn off the circuit breaker, so. Okay. If you want, you can open the shades. So, what do you want to say?
What question are we trying to answer?
Okay. So, I'll say. Let's start with the first question. He really thought that it's a levei trei lo chazya. It doesn't make sense that a woman can be tied with kedushin to more than one man. So how could the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ran and the Yerushalmi say that she does still have this kedushin ruvin, the rishon on her? And how could the Rashi and Rifa say that she doesn't really have? She would have the kedushin rishon if not for the fact that she retracted, like she decided to retract, but theoretically she could have. So the first approach you want to say at the beginning of Shir was that she's allowed to have a relationship to both Reuven and Shimon, because only Shimon is really like an Isha's relationship with Reuven. It's just like a promise. Then he wanted to say no. Really, she can't have any type of relationship with both Reuven and Shimon. So how can she have Reuven's Kiddushin sitting around on her, waiting? Because only present Kiddushins count, not future. But in the future, it didn't happen yet, so we don't take that into account. I mean, I think it's very reasonable. Instantly, Trei Lo Chazya, you can't have a present double link to two men. But with the future hasn't come yet. So now that explains the Rambam, the Yerushalmi, etc. In the present, you can't hold link to two men. Instantly, Trei Lo Chazya. But on day 29, 28, 27, you know, days 2 through 29, she only has a link to Shimon. Reuven's in the future, so she doesn't have to take it into account. On day 30, Reuven also becomes the present. And then Reuven's kedusha have to disappear because it's still a trei lo chazya. Why do you want to say this? Because this, number one, it explained how even though it's still a trei lo chazya, she could still have kedusha Reuven waiting in the wings while she's married to Shimon. because Kedusha Reuven is in the future. The future doesn't count. It's not here yet. That also answered his other problem. If he wanted to assume, which again, I'm not saying we have to agree, that La'achar Lamed, but any time La'achar Lamed, not just the day 30, at 30 or 31 or 32. So then, Taka, why is it a Chal on day like 3095 when Shimon dies? So the answer is, because really, Kedusha La'achar Lamed, he meant any time La'achar Lamed. But once day Lamed comes, once day 30 comes, now Reuven's Kedusha are present, not future. Once Reuven's Kedusha are in the present, and Shimon's Kedusha are in the present, then it's a Beitrei Lochazi, and Reuven's Kedushin have to disappear. So it's not that Reuven's Kedushin only have one chance to be Chal on day 30. They really have a million chances to be Chal. But when day 30 comes, and they get their first chance to be Chal, now they're real. And Shimon's Kedushin are also real, so if she can't have a dual Kedushin, she'll Reuven's disappear. So that's why he wanted to say this formulation. It got him two advantages. A, explaining how a woman couldn't have a dual relationship, but yet Reuven's Kedushin could be waiting around. And B, explaining why Reuven's Kedushin can't be Chal on day 10,093. Why not? If he thinks Reuven would have wanted it. Because when day 30 came, Reuven's Kedushin became a present option. And then Memelo or Paka Lagambre, because she can't have a dual relationship.
Is there any particular svar to say that the Kenyan Choshen Mishpat type was generated on the first day? Ezra part, what's the 30th day within the Rambam? Is there anything that indicated that in the Rambam?
Not sure. I mean, he didn't say that within the Rambam. He said two within the Rambam.
So who is he saying one within?
The Ramban, Ran, Yerushalmi, Rashba, Ritva. Well, I don't really see like the difference substantively.
I mean, you could say it in anybody, I guess, but no, nobody says anything like that, right? I mean, there's nothing about any of the Rishonim that actually says that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
I'm not sure. Okay, the next thing, one last part of this that he discussed was the issue of what if, let's assume like this side, right? Let's assume here. Then we have to ask ourselves another question. What if, you know, the Rishon died and left a brother? Then, can the Sheni's Kedushin be Chal or not? So, the Yerushalmi says... The second guy, Mizbeh Kadosher, died within 30 days, childless, but left a brother. So, now what happens? So, the Yerushalmi says, Lo Chalu Kedushin Rishon. No, Kedusha Rishon can't be Chal. Because he still has a brother. However, the Ramban says Chalu Kedusha Rishon. Why? Because Kedushin Tofsim Yivam Lashon. Right, Kedushin, what does the Ramban say? He says, look, look at it in just the Pasha common sense Balabatish logic. On day 30, what happens when the first guy's Kedushin want to be Chal? So, she's a Yivam Lashuk. Okay, Kedushin are Tofes and Yivam Lashuk. It's only Chai Vilavin, so Kedushin are Tofes and Yivam Lashuk. That would be possible like Shmuel. The Ban Yusein, the Tzvich Haget. So, what's the problem with Yerushalmi? So, why did Yerushalmi say Reuven's Kedushin aren't Chal? After all, why can't Kedushin be Chal? It's only Chai Vilavin. So, the Ramban says that that's just a leave with the Rav. Because Rav holds Kedushin aren't Chal and Yivam Lashuk. So the Yerushalmi is like Rav, the Kedushin aren't Tofes and Yivam Lashuk. That's why it said Reuven's Kedushin can't work. But since we hold Kedushin are Tofes, then we would hold that Reuven's Kedushin do work. So basically, the Ramban says you can't explain Yerushalmi according to the way we pass. Yerushalmi must be some other way of passing. That says Kedushin Aron Tofes in Ram Lashon. However, what did you say? That maybe there is a way to explain Yerushalmi. But what did you say? There's still a remnant
of Kiddush Sheni. It's not because we have Isur Yavama L'Shuk that the first guy's Kiddush can't be Chal. Really, the first guy's Kiddush would be Chal on Yavama L'Shuk. Kiddush and Tosim Mechayvi Lavin, even Yavama L'Shuk, according to the way we paskin. The reason why the Rishalmi held that Kiddush Rishon wouldn't be Chal is because the since she still has a Zikas Yibum because of her relationship with the Sheni, right? Why does she need a Yavama? Why does she have to marry the Sheni's brother? Because she still sort of owes something in her Isha's relationship with the Sheni. So since her Isha's relationship with the Sheni is still continuing, then it's a, even though it's not enough to prevent Chalos Kiddushin, but it's sort of a trail of Chazi, and as long as she still continues her Isha's relationship with the Sheni, even though it's on a low level of Lavin, still the Kiddushin Rishon can't be Chal. So that's how two ways of understanding Yerushalmi. There are Baner Shuk at a technical level. Kedushin aren't Tofis and Vamal Shuk, and that's like Rav, and we don't pass him like him, so we should pass him the opposite. Lilith said, no, maybe it has nothing to do with being Yerushalmi Shuk. It has to do with still having a continuation of Shimon's relationship with her. As long as she still has a continuation of her relationship with Shimon, that precludes her relationship to Ruvain. The one thing which we threw in the side here was Taka, what is the Machloksing Rav and Shmuel? So, what is Machloksing Rav and Shmuel? So, they argue on a technical level about the Pesukim. Rav says, Losia Ishtam Esophus Lishazar, right? The Yavama can't marry someone else. So, Rav says, can't means it's impossible. She has no Tfis Kiddush with someone else. Shmuel says, can't means it's wrong. It's usher. But she can. If she did, it's Chal. But if you want to look at the Lumbus, what's the basis of their Machlokis? Taka, it's only Chayv Lavin. Why would Rav say Kiddush not totally? So, Rav makes two assumptions. Rav makes two assumptions. One, he makes the assumption that Zika, meaning the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, between the brother-in-law and the widow, is a form of, is an Isha's relationship. There is some sort of Isha's relationship between the brother-in-law and the widow. And two, this I mentioned was Machlokes between the Negev Shua and the Avnei Miluim. Two, the reason that Ein Kiddushin Tosin the Ishus Ish is because she already belongs to someone. Now, why Kiddushin not Tosin the Ishus Ish? Because she already belongs to someone. So even if she's a Yavama, she still belongs to brother-in-law already. So, it's only Chayvi Lavin. Who cares it's only Chayvi Lavin? You can't take something that belongs to someone else, right? If there's no way you could establish bialus over something that belongs to us, right? It's only allowed to do Gneva. Nonetheless, if I steal your thing, I can't become the bialum over it because it's not mine. So likewise here, it's this guy's wife in some low level. And he's taking someone else's wife, so he just can't be calling her. She already has a bottle. What does Shmuel hold? So Shmuel would have to disagree with one of these assumptions. Either he would disagree with the second assumption. He would say the only reason Ein Kiddushin Tosin Be'ishas Ish is because of the Isser Karis. Really, why can't I marry someone else's wife? The reason is because Chiv Karis, same reason I can't marry my sister or my mother, because Ein Kiddushin Tosin Be'ishas Karis. But over here, it's only a lav, so Kiddushin or Tosin. And here is only a lav. Or he could say, Zika is not a present relationship. There is no present relationship between the brother-in-law and the widow. Just a mitzvah to marry her in the future. It's just a mitzvah that you should marry her, you know, as soon as you can. But right now, there's no relationship at all. It's just a mitzvah that you should marry her. Ki'ilu, Luyatsur, I took a shwal das rabin, that I marry a certain girl. So I have to marry, no relationship between us, but I have to marry her for whatever reason. So here, so therefore, there are two ways to explain shwal. Either you would say, deny the first premise. Yeah, Taka, you're right. You can never tefis kedusha someone else's wife. Because she's not someone else's wife. They just might become someone else's wife. There might be a mitzvah. But right now, she's not anyone's wife. Or you could say, no,
It doesn't matter, even if she is his wife, even if Zika is a relationship, this Kiddushin is still Tofes, because Kiddushin can be Tofes and Eish Zesh, if not for the Chiyuv Karis. And here, she doesn't have the Chiyuv Karis. Okay, now, for me, now, this second one would be like Shifcha Harufa, let's say. Okay, that's the first part of Shir. Now, the next part of Shir, we dealt with the issue of Nisakla Mos. What about Kolsa Kinyano? So we dealt with this from a few angles. One angle was just a pasuk question. All the Rishonim asked a pasuk question. We have a rule about Metzia Daf Pei Beis, or Pei Vav. We have a rule in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Beis called Kolsa Kinyano. I don't think the word is the word Kolsa Kinyano in Shas. No, but that's the word for it. Right, that if I want to make a kinyan lachas man, but my kinyan's gone by the time this man comes, so it's not chal, the kinyan has to still be around. Right, so for example, I do mashicha, the mashicha's over, and the 30 days come, then it's no good anymore. As opposed to, let's say, I do a kinyan chatzar, it would still be my house, when the 30 days came, it would be good. Or, for example, like shtar, right, I do a kinyan shtar, and the shtar gets ripped up, 30 days comes, no good. If I do a kinyan shtar, still have the shtar, then it is good, fine. So in Kasef, if I would give the woman the kesef and say, Mekudesh Lachar Laman, and she still has the kesef Lachar Laman, then of course it would be good. But the Gemara is Mechadish here, the Rover Avon Shmuel Amr Tavayu, Eve Afilon is Akwa Mos, even if she spends the money and nothing's left by 30 days, she's still Mekudesh. Which is a big chiddush. What happened to Kol Sinyanu? So the Gemara explains, but the Gemara doesn't really explain. They say, oh, it's not like a milva, it's not like a bikadol. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't actually explain how it works. So here we have, I think we listed four different opinions maybe, as to how this chiddush of Nisaklu Hamaos works. So one is the Ramban. The Ramban says it works in Tam Bilva. The Ramban says that if I give her the money, she owes me money now. Right? I give her money. So at the end of 30 days, what am I doing? I'm forgiving her debt. I'm mochel the milve. So I'm a kaddish of a milve. So therefore, it's fine. Because at the end of 30 days, you're a full maisa kiddushin. Because I'm a kaddish of a milve. Oh, kaddish milve doesn't work. The Rabban here has to make a big hodah. He has to be a kaddish that really a kaddish milve does work. Unlike what we always thought, that milve is fundamentally not kesef kiddushin. The Rabban says, no, really, Milva is Kesef Kiddushin. If you owe me money, and I say, I forgive the money, and that'll be Kiddushin, that really is good Kesef Kiddushin. Forgiving money is considered a Maisi Kiddushin. It's just that normally there's no Gemiras Das. She doesn't take it seriously, because she didn't really look at this money as Kiddushin potential. She didn't really invest this debt with such significance that she could seriously think about Kiddushin. So Rabban says, very posh, he says, in a regular Mekadosh Milva, really, it could work. It's just a side problem that she doesn't take it seriously. There's no Gemiras Das. But if I gave her the money originally and said, this is going to be Kedusha Lachar Lamed, she knew the whole time that it was going to be a Kedusha Lachar Lamed, and after Lamed it would be Nimchal, and that would be Milva would turn into Kedusha after Lamed, then all along she did take it seriously. So therefore, Milva, this kind of Milva works. That's what, even the Gemara says, well done, the Milva. It means it is a Milva, it's just not the regular kind of Milva, it's a special Milva that adds Gemiras Das. That's the Ramban. It's a big chiddush about milva. But once you make that big chiddush about milva, we understand what he's saying. The Ritva says it's kiddushin tam hana'a. The Ritva says it's hana'a. He says that, really, he says in the vav end here, he compares it a little to maybe hana'a, some feels milva. Basically, what he says is you're mekadosh her with the hana'a, because she always has hana'a, even if she spent the money. She still has hana'ah that she's able to spend the money, she doesn't have to worry about paying it back, and she's better off, and she's financially free of that obligation. So there's always hana'ah, and even though normally, right, we know from that form of base, hana'ah smechilas milva, and hana'ah always works. Even though normally you might have to say the word, like amikashi with the hana'ah, not with the actual thing, over here it's understood when you give it to her and you say la'achar lamed. So the whole point, all along, is that you're saying, I'm giving you this money, but you should spend the money and just transfer it into hana'ah. So it's understood all along that you mean the hana'ah is always going to be around and you're amikashi with the hana'ah. Okay, that's also using an existing model. Tosfos, we've always left San Gimel, a few other places. Um, you have to figure out what this means, which Lichtenstein gave Pshat. Tosfos says something else. He says, since the money's still there, if what would happen if she backed out of the Kedushin? She'd have to give you back the money. That's obvious, right? I give the woman $1 million, and I say, you Kedushin to me in 30 days. Then she backs out, so of course she has to give the $1 million back. So since at any moment, if she would back out, she'd have to give the money back, it's ke'ilu, the money's the end, the whole 30 days. Okay, wonderful. Ke'ilu, the money's the end. Great, but what does that mean? Why is ke'ilu, the money's the end? Isn't that exactly what milva means? I have to give it back, but it's not the end. Right? All milva you have to give back at any minute when I ask you for the money, and it's not the end. So what does Tosos mean? So you're looking to explain Tosos, based on the Yiddish that he had also in the understanding of the Ravid, which he had mentioned earlier. One second. Yeah. Based on the Ravid and based on the Malamor, which he had mentioned previously. He said, Tosvos is based on the idea that there's money. Regular money is just money. Regular milva is just a milva. But a milva machlas mecher, the money that's the price of a transaction, of an object, right? I'd sell you this Palm Pilot for $100 for $35. So that $35 is defined, is mugder, as ke'ilu the Palm Pilot. Right, symbiotic relationship, bound up, whatever you call it. Meaning that $35 is defined as the flip side, the mirror image of the Palm Pilot. So now, it seems like let's just see how it ties in here. So what Tosfos is saying is that the money, even if it's spent, equals the Kiddushin. When I say I'm giving you $100, right, Rachel, here's $100, and being Kadeshis to me, that $100, even if she spends it, the milva of the $100 is not just a loan of money. The milva of the $100 is defined as ke'ilu the Kiddushin. She's holding on to this Kiddushin. And therefore, at the end of 30 days, when she no longer has to pay me that money, it's since the money is the mirror image of the Kiddushin, the moment when the end of 30 days comes, she no longer has to pay me that money, it's as if she's giving me the Kiddushin. So the Kiddushin automatically chal, because that money is defined as the mirror image of the Kiddushin. So as soon as she no longer has to pay me that money, the Kiddushin has to be chal. So the money is, it's not that the money's been, even the dollars are here when they're not here. It's that the money is not just money. The money is the chalos Kiddushin. And therefore, the chalos Kiddushin happens. Now, where does he get this idea? It sounds like a crazy idea, right? We would never have thought to say such an idea. But it has a mucker in the, if I can go a little over, in the Ravid. Right, the Rambam, this is, we did this once, the Rambam in Mechira Perek Hey, Halacha Dalet, had a bunch of cases. What's the case? The case is, I buy Metaltalin with, you could have a Stam Milveh, or you could have a Milveh Machlas Mecher. So, right, I could say, let's say Yoni owes me, let's say I owe Yoni $35. So Yoni and I will say, you know what? I don't give him anything. You could acquire this Palm Pilot in exchange for $35. That's how I pay. So the Rambam says, what if it's like a Stam Milveh? I owe $35. I say, I'll sell you the Palm Pilot for $35. So the Rambam says, Kaneh L'inyan Misha Para. And what if I owed him the $35? Not just Stam, but because he had sold me an object. He sold me a shas. I owed him $35. And now I say you can have a Palm Pilot for $35. So then it would become a legamri. What's the logic of the Rambam? The logic here is that a milveh is considered a form of maos, and we have a whole lumbus, lini kinyan metaltalin, at least maybe not kesef, but maos. A milveh is kesef. Therefore, if I pay for something with a debt, it's if I give you the money. Metaltalin, what's the rule if you give the money? Everyone knows mishapara. Here, you just add milsa dlo shticha. Really, mita oraisa maos konos metaltalin. They're only goes or maos, are not konos, because shema yemun nisfetech aliyah, whatever. So here's just a rare case that I'm paying for the Palm Pilots. That Yoni's paying for the Palm Pilot, not with real money, but with forgiving of a debt that was created because he sold me a shas. Therefore, it's muskel shlichus of chalik amri. Fine, that's the Rambam. Not the same. The Ravid changes everything. The Ravid says the stam milva is worth nothing. What's the logic? The milva is not considered to be money. If right, I just happen to own $35 from a loan or from work or from whatever, and I say, oh, you can have my palm pilot for the money, that's worth nothing, not even Mishapara. The milva isn't even bogus. What if the milva machos mecher? That is kana le'inyan Mishapara. What's the case in the Muslim Shlicha? So, milva machmas mecher v'domav einan yiduim. If we don't haven't even fixed the price for the shas, he sold me a shas, and we said I'll pay you the value, but we'll decide later what it is. And then I said whatever it was, I'll sell you the palm pilot. Then that's a real weird case. That's kana legamre. So here we're saying that milva does count as money. Therefore, it's cuddling to Mishapara. And here we just add the factor of milsa delo shchicha. Now, of course, in the Ravid, I mean, you're mochmer to say a chiddush, some wonders in the Ravid. To the Ravid, it makes no sense. What does the Ravid say? If I just stam owe you money, that doesn't. If I just forgive a stam debt, that doesn't count as money. But if I forgive a debt that was created by a sale, that does count as giving money. And then if I didn't even know the amount, that's really weird. So the Gzeirah Darabanan doesn't even apply. So what's found in the Ravid? So the Ravid has to be a raya for this pshat and tosos. What does the Ravid think? If I stam owe you money and forgive the debt, forgiving a debt does not count as giving money. But if I owe you money because of a sale, then it's not that I owe Yoni money. That debt counts as a shas. That debt is the flip side of a shas. So if he's mocha that debt, it's as if he gave me the shas on the spot. So he traded a shas for a palm pilot. Of course that's kona. Lenin Mishapara. That's ma'os mamash, shava kesef ki kesef, that's real shava kesef. So there's a chiddush, even though it seems like a strange chiddush, but nonetheless, the chiddush of the Ravid, that stam debts do not count as a chefza. But a debt that was in exchange for an item that I bought counts as that item. And therefore, when I say, I won't pay you $35, instead I'll give you the palm pilot, it's as if, the moment I don't have the $35, it's as if Yoni gave me a shas, because that $35 is the mirror image of the shas. Where does this come from? So, we're looking, tied it into the machlokas in Bab Metzia Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. In the case of a guy who's idle enough to lose it, when he's selling something because he needs money, there's a machlokas rishonim. Ayin Zayin Amud Beis Bab Metzia. What if, let's say, about metalkalin, karka is a little more complicated. I'm selling my palm parlor because I need money. So I sell it to Yoni for $35. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And he never pays me the money. He never pays me $35. So what's the did? So Tosus there, but I'm seeing anxiety with Bays. And the Milchamos there. Tosus there and the Milchamos there say that, well, if he doesn't pay me the money, he can't keep the palm paused. He has to give the palm pilot back. Doesn't matter if he did Mashiach. If he doesn't pay me the money, he has to give me back the palm pilot. The Balamor, I thought it was the Balamor quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim, or the Balamor himself, whatever. The Balamor quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim at least says no. He says, can't be Mashiach's Kona. Once you're Kona, he never has to give back the palm pilot. So what's the Machlokes? Taka Mashiach is Kona. That's fine. Maybe. So what he said, the Machlokes is Rabbeinu Ephraim holds that there's no special rule that the price, the debt, the price of a chifetz counts as the real, like the whole chalos, it's ke'ilu the whole chalos. So therefore, I sold him palm pilot, he did mashiach his kona. Whether or not he paid me the price is a separate problem. However, the Ramban and Tosos, the Shitasam, the Mochamos say no. If I sold him the palm pilot and he hasn't paid me the money yet, that money that he owes me is the mirror image of the palm pilot, and therefore, if he doesn't pay me the money, then maybe I get the palm pilot back. It doesn't matter if he did Mashiach, because the money is Kilo has the palm pilot inside of it. So, therefore, that sort of three things that come this Tosa Kosa Kinyano, and the Ravid about that it's Kona Lenin Mishapara, or Milsko Shlita Case Lagamre, and the Tosos and the Mochamos in Bogotia and Zayin with Bays, who say that if I don't pay the money, yes, if he doesn't pay the money, he has to give the palm pilot back. We're saying that the unique chiddush here, that the price of the transaction, even if the money doesn't actually exist, just the abstract debt, is ke'ilu the chifetz of the transaction. And that's why there can be no kol kinyanim kesef, because the kinyan is always here. Then he wants to suggest maybe even Rabbi Ephraim in the Baal HaMor might admit, even though he says that you can keep the chifetz without giving the money, but he might admit that's just because, you know, the chifetz, that's just because sort of the money is, you know, the chifetz is the ikker, and you can have a kinyan on the chifetz without the money. But you can't, you can look at the chifetz without the money, but he might admit you can't look at the money without the chifetz. There's no chifetz is the main point, so you can look at that without seeing the money. But maybe you can't look at the money without the chifetz. So it could be that he would say, in a chanami, if you don't pay the money, you don't have to give back the chifetz. That's because the chifetz can sort of be looked at independently. But nonetheless, the money is only looked at as a mirage in the chifetz, and therefore, he might admit for kol kinyanim purposes that as long as you owe the money, that's ki'ilu the chifetz is banned. Okay. That's the Tosfos. Then we dealt with the Reb Chaim. So, Reb Chaim has a wild chiddush. Reb Chaim wants to be mechadesh that there's no rule of kol kinyanim. Kol kinyanim. What do we mean? Two things are clear in Shas. By kesef, even if the kesef is gone, the kinyan works. By meshicha, if the meshicha is gone, the kinyan doesn't work. So which the rule, which the exception? So all we've shown, everyone in the world assumes, that the rule is kolsa kinyano, that it doesn't work if the mice is gone, except by kesef, it works for one of these three explanations. However, Reb Chaim assumed the opposite. He says, no. Reb Chaim said, Adraba, this rule is that the mice, the kolos always works after 30 days the mice is gone. There's no problem the kinyan's gone. Just by meshicha, there's a separate problem. Why does he say that? And then we analyze Reb Chaim a lot. He says that to the following problem. Tosfos sort of deals with this problem, but the Rambam leaves himself open to this problem. The Rambam says very pashut. The Rambam says that. What does the Rambam say? He says Kinyan Sudar. Kinyan Sudar is a problem of Asmachta. I mean, every Kinyan Sudar. I mean, if you do a B'derech Asmachta, right? Unless you say Me'akshav. Right? Kinyan Sudar, sort of, conditionally. A conditional Kinyan Sudar, right? If I don't. If I don't do what I say, I'll give you $100. Kinyan Sudar. So that's a problem of smachta. Unless you say me'achshav to get out of a smachta. But what is he asking if you don't say me'achshav? Then what do you need? Bezdin Chashav, right? Bezdin Chashav. Then you go to a Bezdin Chashav. And if you go to a Bezdin Chashav, then that gets you out of a problem of smachta. Fine. But Chaim's question was just this. Saying, what do you mean? Like, if you do me'achshav, you don't do me'achshav. You always have to do me'achshav and kinyan sudar. Why? Because kolsa kinyano. Kinyan sudar is always kolsa kinyano. So that's the question. Chaim's question is, how can you say, oh, you can do it with me'achshav, or you cannot do it with me'achshav and have a different solution for that smart problem? There is no option of not saying me'achshav. But if you don't say me'achshav, it would be kol kinyano. So that's his question on the Rambam. Tosos doesn't have the question, because Tosos asks that question of himself and gives technical answers. But the Rambam, he's got a lot of good Rechaim start. There's a problem with Sugya. Tosos asks and gives a technical answer, but the Rambam just quotes the Gemara and doesn't leave himself open to Tosos' answer, so we're stuck. That's why Rechaim always likes to ask a good question to the Gemara, but Tosos ruins it by giving technical answers. So you just go to the Rambam and ask the question on the Rambam. So, that's why a lot of Rechaim start the Gemara. Tosos' final question of the Gemara, but if you look at the Rambam, quotes the Gemara in a way which isn't open to Tosos' answer. So, Lamaisa, what does he do with this? So, Rav says,
is only from the Shikhar. Unlike what we thought, what did we think? We thought Kosar Kinyano meant the Maisa needs to last until the Chalos.
Chaim says, no, the Maisa doesn't need to last until the Chalos.
Right? Meaning, really, Maisa, against what everyone in the world thinks. Meaning, against what we've shown him, that, you know, seem to assume there's a problem. It's fine, it's for the round. You have four elders shown. As long as it fits the Rambam, it's good. So really, the Maisa doesn't need to last until the Chalos. But what's the problem? But in Mishicha, if it's a case of Kalsa Kinyono, it's not even a Maisa. Really, the Maisa doesn't need to last until the Chalos. You just need to have a Maisa. But if you do a Mashiach and a Derek of Kosh, you know, it's not even a Maisa in the first place. Why not? This gets on to a whole lundus about Mashiach. What is Mashiach? So what does Rav Chaim assume? There are two ways to understand Mashiach. One way is that it's the Maisa Mashiach shows your control. If I pull something, then I'm in charge. So the Maisa of Horas Bailus. Or that the result is that it's in my Rishos. When I pull it into my Rishos, like, not actually a Kenyan Chatzar. That's a famous Yeshivish Chakira, right? How to understand Kenyan Mashiach. So, Reb Chaim, what's Reb Chaim assuming? The Kinyan Mashiach is not just a Maisa Kinyan. It's that I've gotten it into my Rishos. Now, he has to add a subtlety here. He says, what's the point of Kinyan Mashiach? That it ends up that it ends up in my Rishos. And therefore it's mine. So he says, this whole Inyan of something being in my Rishos and making it mine is only if I pull my thing into my Rishos. But if someone else's object is in my rishos, then that's not significant at all. He doesn't exactly explain. I mean, you could look there in the shiurim. He doesn't exactly explain why this should be so. But he says basically what he looks at is not the ma'is mashiach, the result. The result is I have something in my rishos, so it's mine. So he says. But if the way mashiach is kone is through sort of hachnas al rishuso. That only if it's my thing entering my Rishos is that a significant act. But if it's someone else's, if at the time it's in my Rishos, it's still someone else's. If it's someone else's property in my Rishos, that's just called inviting guests. That's just you bring your things, like being a shomer or something. Then that takes away the whole kinyan of Mashiach. So he says it's not that you need the Maisa to continue. You just need it to be a Maisa B'Shaito at least. You need for 1 second there to be a Mashiach. And in Mashiach, if it's not mine at the time of Mashiach, that undermines the whole Mashiach. Because it's only significant to have my thing in my Rishos. To have your thing in my Rishos undermines the entire Mashiach. Again, I am Shem. I'm not sure I fully understand exactly why that should be so. But that's definitely what he... That is definitely what he says. So, the Rav Lussin just pointed out that of course this Rav Chaim then only works according to one side of the Chakira, but really there are two sides of the Chakira, so Rav Chaim is not so poshut. And he gave some of the classic, I think these are classic nafkaminas, to this Chakira, which is, for example, what about Rishus HaRabim? Right, what about Rishus HaRabim? So, So we know Mashiach is not kona b'shus harabim. At least that's how we paskin. So the Rashba says, why doesn't it work b'shus harabim? Now it makes perfect sense. It doesn't work b'shus harabim because b'shus harabim isn't mine; it's everyone's. In like a sentan alleyway, then you know I can say that when I'm using it, it's mine. When you're using it, it's yours. It's like co-op property or something. But in a street is nobody's. So that's why you can't have Mashiach in the street. But Rav Lichtenstein pointed out, there is a mandate.
There is a man da amar in shita machlok samarayim in ksubos who says it does work in Rosh Hashanah. Right, so machlok sfin ravina, I forget him. So,
how about the shita that it works in Rosh Hashanah? Machora, that's machlok, because maybe if it doesn't work in Rosh Hashanah, that's because it has to be bringing into my Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, not my Rosh Hashanah. But the mind of it that does work in Rosh Hashanah says, no, it's just showing your control by pulling it. So therefore, maybe, this depends how we pass it. He pointed out that really, it's not mochrach, because you could say that even if you hold it doesn't work in this, even if you hold it doesn't work in Mishas Harabim, it could be, and I think he's quoting this from Tosfos Rid in the beginning of Matzia, I forget exactly where, doesn't work in Mishas Harabim because you can't control it well. Maybe the only reason it doesn't work in Mishas Harabim is because really it's the Maisa Mashiach that controls the animal, that shows you're in charge of where it goes. But in Rosh Hashanah, it's hard to determine where the animal goes. The animal's bumping into you and pushing you in all directions. So you can't really clearly make the animal go the way you want. I mean, obviously, more or less, eventually it gets there. But you can't really exercise control over the direction of the animal because everyone's pushing and blocking the way. Or, theoretically, you could say, even you want to say like Rechayim, that the results that's in Rosh Hashanah, you could theoretically say that it works in Rosh Hashanah, although B'dochak. Because you could say maybe even Rosh Hashanah, like it's the Rosh Hashanah on one of the Ravim. Maybe I have Rishus when I'm trying to do Mashiach, maybe it's my Rishus Rabbin. Or even if it doesn't much belong to me, it's my area. Like, if anyone remembers from Shira last year, like the Balamor and the Mochamos and Shabbos. The Balamor and Mochamos, they both say the same idea. It's not a Machlokas here. They say, how many types of Otsa are there? Some of us think there are two. There's an Isser to take things out of Rishus into a different Rishus, and then there's an issue to carry four Amos and Rishus Rabbin, which is like a quantity of carrying. The Rambam comes saying, no, there's only one Rishus, take things from one Rishus into another Rishus. You know why it's also to carry four Amos and Rishus Rabbin? Because your four Amos are your Rishus. And when you carry four Amos, you're moving it into a different Rishus. So, therefore, we can see there's even Rishus of a person in Rishus Rabbin. Another nafgamina of this might be another nafgamina of this might be, my folks, I think it's Rav and Shmuel, how much do you have to pull? Right, let's say you own both, that's like here. Is it enough to pull it like this, so that you've pulled it, or do you have to get it to here to be totally not out of the place where it once was? So you would think, if it's just a Maisa Mashicha, then you would think it would be enough to just pull it a little. You've moved every single molecule, so you've shown that you're moving it. But if it's about getting it into your Rishus, then you'd have to get into an entirely new Rishus, because this is where the old guy put it, the original owner put it, that's his Rishus. You have to put it in a new place, which is your Rishus. That also might be enough to me. It's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel in Bava Basra, fifth, maybe, Perek Bava Basra. The Rav Lichtenstein said that it could very well be, so the bottom line is that maybe it's Fadin, maybe there are two types of Mashiach. Why should there be two types of Mashiach? I'm not going to put it here, but the sheet of the Re in Tosos and Suba Staff Lam Alf and Beis, a few other places, the sheet of Baba Kama and Tesla and Alf, I think the sheet of the Re is that Mashiach Rosh Hashanah doesn't work to be Kona, but it does work to be Gonev. The Maisik Neva, if you're Moshe Rosh Hashanah, it's just you can't be Kona. And likewise, Tosos and Baba Matzia Daf Tzadik Tes holds that the Re says that if you're Moshe Rosh Hashanah, that's enough to become a Shomer. Like to be Shoah, to become a Shomer, it's just not enough to be Kona. So why? So maybe that both Dino are true. If you pull in Rosh Hashanah, that's only a Maisa, it's not bringing it into your Rishus. So you can't acquire it, but a Maisa is enough to become a Shomer or a Gan. But if you actually pull it into a Simta or Rishus, a Yachid, then that's Mamish bringing it into your Rishus. And then that can work even for Kenyan Mamish. So maybe both sides are true. Lit Ma'aseh, there were, what if you disagree with Rechayim? Let's say you hold like the other side of the Chakira. Then he said, no problem, two other answers that you could give based on the nature of Chalipin. Number one, if, and we dealt this with this many times already, if Chalipin is a form of Kesef, then of course there's no Kulsa Kinyana by Chalipin. Because we just learned that we have three different explanations why for Kesef no Kulsa Kinyana. So if using the Chalipin is really just a form of Kinyan Kesef, right, like the Ravi Nechazavad and the other Makoros and the, according to the Ravi Tom's view of the Havamina and Daf Gimel and Kedushin,
then it's obvious why there's no problem kol sekinyanu. You why you don't need me'achshav, there's no problem kol sekinyanu b'chalipin. Because it's kesef, and in kesef, for one of these three reasons, there's no problem kol sekinyanu. Or he suggested that maybe this would not be the Rav Shita, but according to the Rav, if it's a kinyan da'as, maybe kol sekinyanu is only a problem in the Maisa. Kol sekinyanu means the Maisa kinyan is gone by the time the Chalos is here. But if there's no Maisa kinyan anyway, it's just kinyan das, then there's no problem with kol sekinyanu. Once you're exempt from the Maisa, you're also exempt from needing the Maisa to last until the Chalos. So there's no kol sekinyanu. There are two other ways to answer Rav Chaim's kasha, other than his, which is totally in a chakira in understanding the Shifa. Okay. There's not that much time left, but then we dealt a little with me'achshav. So here's what's a little funny. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, said that Rav Nachman's din, that if I pull a cow, I can be kona lachar lamed, even if it's in the agav, is talking about where you said me'achshav. And then the Gemara in Daf Pei Vav says, well, it's davka and agav, but not a rishus rabban, maybe not even a tzidi rishus rabban, but something with the status of tzidi rishus rabban. So now, when the Gemara, the question is, will the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Pei Vav making the same assumption as the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Pei Beis, or arguing the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Pei Beis? Gemara in Daf Pei Beis assuming Rav Nachman, who says, "V'omer chayim shok par zuvul tikkun an achol lamed yom kana filo omedes ba'agam has no kipta me'achshav." Was the Gemara in Daf Pei Vav also having the kipta me'achshav, or? Here's the Rina friend. The other Balamor was not the Rina friend. This one was. Or, was it not? So this is Machlokas being Tosfos versus Ravina Ephraim quoted in the Balamor. So let's just explain this a little. Here we have Me'achshav and Lo Amar Me'achshav, and we're dealing with a Meshicha. Well, let's say we're dealing with Meshicha L'Achar Lamed. So here we have the Shita of Tosfos and the Melchamos, who say that it's the same Okimta on Daf Pei Beis and on Daf Pei Vav. Meaning Rav Nachman is dealing with the case of Me'achshav. So what do you say in Me'achshav? Even if you say Me'achshav needs to be an Agam, needs to be an agam, not rishus harabim. And what if you wouldn't have said me'achshav? Then an agam wouldn't have even helped. Then even an agam wouldn't help. It would need to be, I guess, that's Tosfos Shita, as opposed to the Baal Mor quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says, no, it's an argument, it's machlokes in Okimta, and Daf Pei Vav, they were not making the Okimta Me'achshav. Why do you say, in Me'achshav, you don't need anything. In Me'achshav, it always works. So what was the Gemara saying in Daf Pei Vav? That if you don't say Me'achshav, if you don't say Me'achshav, then you need it to at least, then you need it to be in the agam. So without Me'achshav, and Daf Pei Vav on the page of Ksubas, then needs to be in the agam. Although, of course, in Daf Pei Vav on the Aleph, they said if you don't say Me'achshav, then even agam is not good enough. So just briefly, I know I'm late, for 1 minute, what are the svaras here? And then we'll skip all the other details. What are the svaras here? So according to Tosfos, what's the svara? It says, if you didn't say me'achshav, then there's a real problem with kol sekinyanu. Then you need the maisa. Tosfos say, what's the svara? The maisa is to last until the halos. So if you want to do meshicha, that meshicha, still, there still has to be some, you know, lasting meshicha, like let's say it's still in your rishos, until the halos. What about if you said me'achshav? So if you said me'achshav, then you're somewhere in the middle. On the one hand, you need to have some, what was the word you used? You need to have some imprint of the kinyan. So here you need the maisa after, because it wasn't anything. Here, you just need an imprint. You don't need the maisa mashiach to still be around. It could be in an agam, which is basically a swamp. But on the other hand, you need some imprint. It's at least in the agam, not Rosh Hashanah. Right, an agam is a place where you could say it's my dalamos while there's, I pulled something there. So there's still an imprint of this mashicha, even though there's not a mashicha anymore. Why? Tosfos explains, because along the lines of Rabbi Yochanan, the way he views me'achshav, ula'achar lamed, is that it starts now and it finishes then, so it's starting and finishing, meaning it started, you have the ma'isa, but the finish, you need an imprint of the ma'isa. What's the svara of the Baal HaMor? The Baal HaMor says that me'achshav is, right, it's a done deal. Right? If I say me'achshav, then I'm doing the whole ma'isa now, I don't need anything later. I'm done. What if I don't say me'achshav? So then we have a little bit of a stira. On that paybays, if I didn't say me'achshav, they said, an agam's not good enough. You need the full ma'isa to continue. But on that paybav, they said, if it's an agam, at least if it's an agam at the end of the 30 days, that's good enough. So we weren't sure how to answer that stira according to Rav Chaim, but according to the Ksos, maybe we want to answer that if we look carefully, the Gemara Daf Pei Beis is talking about Kinyanim, the Gemara Daf Pei Vav is really using this as an example for figuring out the rules of Get. So maybe on Daf Pei Beis, they were dealing with Kinyanim. In Kinyanim, then you need the Maisa Kinyan to continue until the Chalos. But in Daf Pei Vav, they're dealing with Get. And according to the Ketzos, you don't need a Hakanah by Get, just a Maisa Nesina. So if all you need is a Maisa Nesina, not a Maisa Kinyan, then maybe we can say that as long as there's an imprint, then you still have a Nesina. If all you need is an asina, not a haknah, then as long as there's still some imprint, there's still some effectiveness in an agam, then you can say, oh, I still have a nesina, so it can still be good enough for get, even though it wouldn't be good enough for kinyanim. Okay.